Okay, without further ado. All right. Okay, thank you for coming. We continue with this series. You know, we're doing over here at the Youngers of Long Beach very important work, social justice, affirmative action, you know, to compensate the long neglected and ignored biblical criminal community. Right, so, and we're going down the timeline. So last week we did Cain. So who's the next bad guy? All right, next bad guy.
We've advertised it.
All right, fine. If dead giveaway. All right, Enosh. Enosh and his, well, we will deal with this, whether, but definitely the generation of Enosh. And that's where idolatry starts from, and we're going to discuss that and discuss what changed exactly. The Torah itself is very, very terse about this. This is more explained in the Torah Shebaal Peh, where there's different opinions that we will endeavor to cover. All it says in the Chumash is, Ulasheis gamu yulad ben, Tesheis also was born a son, Vayikra shmo Enosh, called him Enosh, Oz huchal likro b'shem Hashem. That's all it says. So now if you want to read it literally, like the Ibn Ezra suggests, that then they began to pray, pray b'shem Hashem, that, you know, that's how you would understand it, if not for the fact that Chazal say that's not what it means. So Rashi, and inspired by Chazal, said, Huchal miloshen chilul. They have defiled. Huchal likro. They have defiled the name of Yudke Vavke and started calling, applying God's name to other entities. That's Rashi's approach. There's the approach of Unkus. It says, Cholo ben Hashem militzal, they ceased to daven in the name of Hashem. Read it as ceasing to daven to Hashem, meaning, and i.e., therefore, they are praying to other things. Right? There's a there's a very interesting Sforno says, as it will take it all, that, you know, just the opposite, to take it literally like the Ibn Ezra, and even more so, that the tzaddikim of the door started preaching to everyone, you know, about the name of Hashem. Right, like by Avraham Avinu, we call B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, like Avraham Avinu went around teaching everyone about Hashem, the God of the universe. But why? Ki hutzuchu listor das of the Avarazor shitchilu az kedir Rabbeinu, because they had to be a countermeasure to the idol worshippers that cropped up then. And we have to find a context to all these different perushim, but I will just mention one more of the Malbim. And you bear this all in mind, and we'll fit this all together. Right, the Az Huchal Likro B'Shem Hashem, they only daven to Hashem. They stopped, it's interesting, Malbim. They stopped using the other divine names in prayer. They didn't use the term Elohim. They didn't use the term Shakai, right, the other divine names, because, you know, the name Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, we know, is called the Shema Etzem. As it were, it's a name that God invented for himself, you know, that it refers to him directly, solely, and only. The other divine names, what do they mean? Like, so there's a tour in Simen Hei. You know, the Shulchan Aruch Simen Hei talks about this, you know, the basic kavanas of davening. So Elohim is Baal HaKochos Kulam, God is the master over all powers, right? And all the other, Tzvakos is that he does war against the Rishoyim, like Tzava, right? Shakai, Sha'amar Lo Modai, or Mishadei Marochas, all the different other divine names, they refer to how God governs the world, right? They stopped using those divine names, i.e., what? God doesn't govern the world. You know, God's sitting up there, the first cause is all the way up there on the, you know, in the hierarchy of reality, there's the first cause, but other forces beneath him are now administering reality. That's the Malbim's approach. And like we said, we'll give context to all these different approaches to this pasuk. What you know, what concerns me now is this question. You know, Enosh himself, where was he in this? Right? It is a machlokas. Right? The There's a Medrash Rabbah that says that one of the Amoraim, I forget which, used to just to, when they asked him to enumerate the generations from Adam to Noach, and he said Adam, Shes, Enosh. And he stopped. They asked him, why'd you stop? So Medrash Rabbah, why'd you stop? Says from this point downwards, they weren't Bezalel Elokim anymore, implying that Enosh still, is together with his, Shes that says Vayol Bid Musa Bezalel is together with Avraham Avinu. All right, as one source, but then there's Mefurish in the Zohar that Enosh himself also did Avodah Zorah, but there's also different Manda Omrim in the Zohar. And this also follows to an interesting Gemara, and Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, that this there's two Gersos in a very interesting Gemara. Whatever the correct Gersa is, we need to understand what the Gemara is saying, because it's coming up tomorrow night. It says like this: Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rav Chiya Bar Abba saying to Rav Yochanan, Kol Meshaber Shabbos Kil Chaso. If a person keeps Shabbos, properly, with all the halachas, afilu oved avodah zarah, so there's two gersos. One is kedor enosh, and one gersa is ke-enosh. Right? Reflecting this duality, the generation for sure guilty, was enosh himself guilty. So even if he does avodah zarah, like either enosh and his generation, or just the generation of enosh, mochulim lo, if you keep Shabbos, you get forgiven. You get forgiven for idol worship if you did it like Enosh. The question, of course, remains why Enosh and his generation are the prime examples. And it learns out of the Pasuk. We read this Pasuk in the Haftorah by every Tanis Tzibor. It says, Ashrei Enosh Yasezos, Uber Adam Yischazek Ba, Shomer Shabbos Mechalelo. That the Gemara says, fortune is Enosh, a man, but, Gemara's darshing on, like Enosh, the third generation of mankind, right? Shomer Shabbos Mechalelo, if you keep Shabbos from defiling it. So the Gemara is saying to it, Al Tikrei Mechalelo, don't read it as, from defiling it. Ela Machulo, rather you are forgiven. Right, that in the schus of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, a person can get forgiveness for Avodah Zarah. That's amazing. That's something that has to be understood. What is the Mida, Keneged Mida? You keep Shabbos properly. You can even be forgiven for Avodah Zarah. But interestingly enough, it always traces back to Enosh. Right? I feel Ovid Avodah Zarah ke-Enosh or Kedor Shul Enosh, Mochulo, as if Avodah Zarah is like permanently connected to this generation and possibly connected to this person. And we will discuss this. Interestingly enough, in that pasuk that the Gemara quoted, the simple pshat in the pasuk is what? Ashrei Enosh is anybody. That's interesting that Enosh became adopted by the Tanakh and is true in Lashon HaKodesh, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Enosh is a synonym for Adam, for human being. Right? There's Adam, Ish, Enosh. Like we say, Ata Chonein LaAdam Das. Umelamed le enosh bina. That's familiar, right? Let's just check. Umelamed le enosh bina. Is this guy, dubious, maybe he did do Avodah Zarah, he didn't do Avodah Zarah, we'll discuss that, right? His generation for sure. This guy became like another name for humanity itself. That's something that really needs to be understood, right? What is really the difference between Adam and Enosh? Right. So I want to read you the Rambam. And the Rambam did a masterful job of collating all the Midrashim about Enosh, right? And weaving it into a very nice, pleasant to listen to, unfortunate, but pleasant to listen to, storyline. In the first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it is the story of the history and development of Avodah Zarah. Right, the whole first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah is mamash geshmak. Right, it is it's a whole story. It's the story of how Avodah Zarah developed and how Avraham Avinu got up and started smashing the idols and how the whole thing, you know, went from Avram to Yitzhak to Yaakov. It's a beautiful parak to read, right? So what concerns us are the first two halachas. Bimei Enosh tov b'nei Adam tos gadol. In the days of Enosh, the mankind made a great error. V'nivra atzas hachmedor, and the thoughts and the, you know, the thinking of the wise people of that generation got distorted. Then listen to the Rambam. We're going to come back to this. It's very interesting. The Enosh atzmo min hatoim haya. Enosh himself was from the toim, from those who were mistaken. So we'll keep that in mind. But seemingly on the surface, right, the Rambam is putting Enosh together with his generation. Enosh atzmo min hatoim haya. Right, he was from those who were mistaken also. Vizuhay satusam. And this, the following was their mistake. This is, we're getting to the core of their thinking that gave birth, you know, to, you know, idolatry. Amru, they said as follows. Hovel kim bara kochavim elu.
What was there before there was idolatry?
That's right. The world was clean. I mean, we had murder. You weren't here last week, but there was murder.
Of course.
All right, yeah, it was Cain. We had murder. We didn't have idolatry.
What was it? So everyone obeyed.
Idolatry was considered to be crazy because they were so close. They were so close to Adam, who, you know, was created by God directly.
Right.
You know, everyone saw Adam, right? And you know, he told everyone, I didn't hatch it. I didn't evolve. You know, I was God made me, right? Yeah, so it just wasn't Shaykh. It wasn't Shaykh until the generation of Enosh. And even with Enosh, we're about to learn, it started from a subtle mistake. It evolved. Avodah Zarah evolved.
But all there was a belief of God.
Absolutely.
There was no service to God back then. Come on.
Right. Oh, so yeah, so.
Well,
right, right. No, so
I
know, yeah. No, so.
But that was because he wanted you.
Right.
Not because
you said whether it was obligatory.
No, it wasn't. It may not have been obligatory. It was
like the seven laws of Noah.
Right. The two of you are having.
You would have this thought.
Okay,
right. But you didn't have any service to or action time.
Right. All right. The two of you are having the, you know, the,
so
you're saying the Eben Ezra and those who argue on the Eben Ezra. Eben Ezra, we said before, wants to read it, you know, wants the Pasha Pshat and leave the Drush separately. Oh, Zuchaliko, then he started, you know, calling out to Hashem, as they start a prayer, and they ask, you know, what do you mean? Cain and Hevel brought korbanos. What do you mean? It can't be. It can't mean what you're saying. Because there was.
Right? They brought
korbanos
because they thought they were bringing to the
Rishon. Yeah, so no. So the Ibn Ezra wants to Hashem. He wants the Pasha Pshat to mean that they started davening. You know, and then only Al Pi Drush, it means that they started Avodah Zarah. He doesn't want to weave it into the Pshat, like all the other Rishon want to weave it into the Pshat. Like Rashi Chulin, they defiled the name of Aya, or like all the different Mefarshim that we spoke out before, and we'll give context to all of them. But I want to, but the Rambam did a masterful job of collating all the Chazals into a penetrating story. And he says, you know, they made a mistake. It all started with a mistake, and whatever the mistake was, Enosh himself was one of the people that made this mistake. All right? Amru, they said as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these stars and these constellations, you know, to run the world. And he put them in the heaven, you know, in these prominent positions. And he gave them, God himself gave them honor. And they are servants that serve before God. Right? Therefore, it is befitting to praise these stars, you know, and the constellations, to praise them and to glorify them, and to give them honor. For is this not the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give honor to he who God himself honored? Like, he put these things in prominent positions, right? He's counting. Keep track. He's saying there's in two ways. First of all, just in their position in the cosmos. They're in the heavens and we're here on earth. They're in a lofty position. But also that, as he said, they are lahanhig es ha'olam. These things run the world. You know, the movement of the stars, disks, you know, this was considered to be in the days of the Rambam, you know, right?
in the days that the Rambam was still considered to be scientifically accurate, in the as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei Torah, he believed that the movement of the disks, you know, they believed the stars were embedded in disks, the movement of the disks forced the elements on Earth to combine, you know, in the different combinations. And it's like it's a physical fact, science. These things caused the world to move. The movement of the disks moved the disks within it, which moved the world, which moved the elements on the world. You know, makes things happen. So therefore, it must be God's will that we give them honor, because he put them, you know, they're his cabinet, as it were. They're his cabinet members. Once they had this thought, They built temples and they brought sacrifices and they started praising the stars and they started bowing to the stars, and this was all, as it were, to do God's will, as they, you know, thought in their poor thinking. And this is, says the Rambam, interesting, this is the essence of idol worship. This is a very key line we're going to come back. He says, Ze ikr, sh'avodas kochavim. You know, he's describing people that want to do this, as it were, to find favor in God's eyes, to honor his cabinet members. He says, Ze hoya ikr avodas kochavim. And I that ask any idol worshiper that ever studied it in depth, Yodei Ikar, knows the principles of idol worship, he'll tell you this is how it started. It all started that they wanted to honor the cabinet members of God's cabinet, right? And to do it because God himself would want that. That's what they were thinking. That's Ikar Avodas Kochavim. That's where it all starts from.
We have Kiddush Levana. Something wrong with the stars?
We're not honoring the moon.
I'm sorry?
Well, we're not honoring the moon.
Not making holy
either. Right? Right.
And what?
Yeah, that's right. So, the Sfardim is called Birkat HaLevana, which is more accurate. It's a bracha on the moon. It's called Kiddush Levana because...
It's better to say Chidush.
Right. Yeah. Yes?
Blessing God for the moon.
It's what?
You're blessing God for the moon.
Yeah.
It's the nature of it. Repetitive nature of things that start again and again. Like a bit like
right.
What we...
So says the Rambam.
So
the Rambam goes on to say that originally this is the way everyone thought, and you know, the idol worshippers would tell you, they would explain to you, this is what we're doing. We are honoring Hashem by honoring his cabinet members, and that's Ikar Avodas Kochavim. Lo she'nomrim she'eino ka'a, ela kochavim. They're not saying that this, you know, this star is the only God. They're not saying that. Hu she'Yirmiyahu omer, and this is what Yirmiyahu Navi says even centuries later. Mi lo yirucha melech goyim, right, Yirmiyahu says, you know, that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our God, who doesn't fear you? You are the king of all nations. Because all the Chachmei HaGoyim and all their kingdoms, they all know, you know, that there's none like you. I mean, everyone believed in the first cause. Everyone believed in the first cause. But nonetheless, as Yirmiyahu goes on to say, but nonetheless they're stupid, and they go after the vanities of wood. Klomar, that means to say, says the Rambam. Hako yodim shatu vadcha. Everyone knows. I mean, the philosophers amongst the goyim, even the philosophers amongst the idolaters knew that there is one infinite first cause, yeah, which is the ones that the Jewish people worship. But it is their mistake and is their stupidity that they think that this vanity, you know, this emptiness of serving, you know, these, you know, symbols is something that you want. And that's their mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want that. Anyway, that's halacha of halacha beis. And as time went on, so this is where it started from. They were honoring the stars because they thought God would want that. So then the way it progressed from it, expanded from there, is that there were false prophets that said, Hashem told me to tell you guys to worship that star. He made that up, of course. Now, Hashem told me to tell you guys to worship this star. And furthermore, he said, you don't have to actually, go out at night and, bow down to the star. You can make a symbol of the star. That's where the idols got started from. Right? Originally at least, no one thought that the idol that they made, a second ago, right, is what created heaven and earth. I mean, everyone can see it says on the bottom, made in China, right? So, obviously not, right? Right. It means that the way it got started was that these Nevi'ei Sheker said, to make it easy and to get a good ministry going, you could do it in the privacy of your own home. There's a symbol that represents that star that Hashem wants you to worship. That's where idols started from.
You have a different history, too.
What?
Supposedly there was an attraction for idol worshiping that started, that didn't end until what, after the destruction of the Second Temple, that the attractiveness of Odeh Zarah was so powerful, and therefore, if that power was there, it wasn't just a simple decision of, I'll do Avodah Zarah, or I won't do it. It's like, you put a good piece of cake in front of me, I won't eat it. No, I'll eat it. Don't worry.
Right.
Okay? So that attractiveness says that, this wasn't, it was nothing to attract them not to do it.
Yeah. But the question is, how did they, what did they say? How did they sell it? Okay, so there was a natural compulsion.
But what was so evil about that?
Oh, we're going to explain. It sounds, not so bad, right? The way you would think. The Rambam is like being condemning of it from the start, right? But as we go on to say, but this is what they said. This is what they sold the product. You said they had a natural compulsion to buy the product. But this is how they explained the product that they were selling. God wants you to do this, right? Hashem will be happy if you do this. And he made it easy because this star that you want to worship, there's a symbol that represents the star that you can make in your own home. You don't have to, schlep outside, It's cold during the winter. Right. So, you could do it in your own home. That's how they started making all these shapes that represent the stars, right? In these temples. And tachzos are under the trees, ubrasharim, and on the top of the mounts, valgvos, and on the hilltops, ubitkatsu, shtachvavahem, and the people used to gather together and bow to these symbols. And then they start saying, this symbol itself also does good to you if you do good, and it does harm to you if you do bad, and is therefore befitting to serve it and to be afraid of it. Right? And the priests of these symbols further said, listen, this is how you serve it, and if you do such and such, you'll have success in life. And if you don't do it as what we're telling you to do, you won't have success in life. And then it progressed, for lack of a better word, further, that they started claiming to get prophecies from the stars or from the symbols. Before it was prophecy from God to worship them. Now they're getting prophecies directly from these symbols, right? Claiming that this thing came to me and commanded me to tell you to worship him. part of the as it were, prophecy that I got from this thing is to serve me this way and don't serve me any other way and don't do such and such. And it spread throughout the world gradually to serve these symbols in these strange forms of worship that were made up or to sacrifice them and to bow them. As time went on, nishkakach hakeshem anechbad vanor mipi kolim akum umidatam vloy kiru. As time went on, God Himself was forgotten. right, and from the whole earth, and no one knew him. Right, and all the people, you know, the men, women, and children, they only knew the symbol made out of sticks or stones. And they also knew the temples, that they were already educated from a young age to go there to bow and to serve and to swear by the name of that symbol. And so the priests that were more educated in Avodah Zarah, so the populace started bowing down to the symbols, thinking the symbols themselves are God. So the priests that knew better, as it were, knew that, no, the symbols represent the stars. So the priests knew that, no, the symbol is nothing, but it's the star that's the real thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvod u'atzmo was totally forgotten, even from the priests that knew that the symbols are nothing and it's only the stars, you know. But they forgot about HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally, right? He who created the world. And there was no one that knew God. El yichidim ba'olam, except there were few left in the whole world. Kagon, as for instance, Chanoch, u'mesushalach, Noach, Shem, ve'ever. The ones that were left were Chanoch, Mesushalach, Noach, Shem, and ever. This is how the world was running, you know, rolling on, you know, day to day, until the pillar of the world was born, and that is Avram Avinu. When this mighty one was weaned, so Avram Avinu started wandering in his mind. He was just a kid. He used to think by day and by night. How is the earth turning without anyone turning it? How is the whole cosmos turning without anyone turning it? So who's turning it? The world can't turn itself. He had no teacher and no one there to inform him. He was stuck in the Ur Kastim with all the idol worshippers, the foolish idol worshippers. And his mother and his father and all the nation, they were all idol worshippers. They all served the stars. And he was serving with them. But even though he was serving with them, but in his heart, his mind was wandering. Umeivin, and he understood until he understood the correct path, right, the true path. Even kavat tzedek, and he understood the path of righteousness. Mitzvasa from his correct understanding. V'yoda, and he knew. Sheyesh olam eloka echad. There's the world has one God. V'umanega galgal, and he runs the. He turns the discs, you know, of the universe. V'ubara akol, he created everything. V'ein b'chol nitzel l'kach chutzmeno, and there is nothing, you know, in what exists, a God other than this one God. V'yada shkom to'im, and he knew everyone is mistaken. V'davar shegarim l'tol zeh, and he also understood, it's going all the way back. He understood the cause. V'davar shegarim l'em l'tol zeh, Avraham Avinu also figured out how it all started. He figured out what went wrong with Enosh, that they started worshiping the stars, you know, seemingly innocently, and that's where it all started from. Now, Avraham Avinu not only just figured out the truth, he figured out how the whole thing must have gotten started. He figured out the original mistake of Enosh and his generation. Right? And therefore, right, Avram was actually 40 years old, according to the Rambam, when he figured this all out. I mean, he started when he was a kid. It was an odyssey that went on until he was 40 years old. That's when he started actually debating the people of Ur Kasdim, and to have debates with them. Right, and it's not the true way you're going. And he broke the idols. Listen to this. And it's not befitting serve anything except the God of the world, and him alone it's befitting to bow, v'lahakriv, and to sacrifice, lasech, and to pour sacraments. K'day sheyakiru kol ha'bruim ha'boim. Right, that, you know, that's thus, you know, that all the creation should know him and know Hashem alone. V'roi la'abe v'lishbar kol ha'tzurs, k'day shelo yit'u b'hem kom, and it's befitting to destroy all the symbols, so that no one should be fooled by them. K'mo elu shein dam shein sham eloha elo elu. Right? So, you know, that so we should not fall into the trap of those who say that there is no God other than these symbols. I'm not going to continue reading the parak, but it is a very good read. But interestingly enough, before we start analyzing the components of the story, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, in the third section, chapter 29, says that he saw in libraries, right, books from the time of Avraham Avinu, from the Chaba people, right, books from that time where they tell the whole story of Avraham Avinu, but from their perspective, right, that he says that everything they said over here, he found in their books, just from the fake media, view of the facts, right, that Avraham Avinu, we were worshiping the sun, because it's simple, right, the sun gives light, sun gives heat, sun makes things grow. And then there was this guy, Avraham, who started making trouble, right? And we he used to debate us, and we couldn't convince him. We tried to explain to him, it's all simple, right? He didn't want to listen. We put him in jail, right? And we couldn't break him, so we exiled him, from Ur Kasdan. Right? This is a whole story,
No mention of the furnace.
Right? No mention of the nace that he was set for the furnace, but it does mention that what Ram said, that there were debates, And we're going to get back to the interesting thing that he adds over there, that they said that we kept on trying to explain to him, right, to Rambam, from what he saw in their books, explain to him that the sun is the big God, and because it gives light, it gives heat, and it makes things grow. And he answered us, "Vhu kegarzein biyadachotzer." It's nothing more than an axe in the hands of a wood chopper. That's what it says. Right?
Can you give a little more background on Shem and Eber? Because, again, this yeshiva is Shem and Eber, and then they predated Avraham, and
While
they might not have been activists.
That's right, they weren't activists. And that's what the Rambam himself writes, they weren't activists.
But in terms of their little yeshiva,
right.
I don't know who else was a member of the,
Right. They taught anyone who would come to them. They didn't go out and preach.
Right.
That was,
there had to be a small little crew that was,
But listen, people came, heard what they have to say, were convinced, weren't convinced, They believed what they were saying, and they had a yeshiva for anyone who wanted to listen. It doesn't mean that anyone who ever enrolled, bought it,
Did Avraham interact with them?
What?
Did Avraham interact with them?
Yeah. To what extent, I can't tell you, but he encountered them. Malki Tzedek was Shem. Yaakovinu, from the last few parshas, he went to learn in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, on his way to Lavan. There was interaction, 14 years. There was interaction, but they weren't activists, and they obviously weren't active where he was growing up, right, in Ur Kasdan, where he was stuck with these idol worshippers. He only encountered him later when he moved to Eretz Yisrael. Right, so, but interesting thing is, the Rambam said at the beginning of this, and he said at the end of this story, he started off with this explaining the mistake of the people of the generation of Enosh, saying that Enosh himself was mistaken. Now, the Rambam is being very, very fair. He's saying it was a ta'ut, it was a mistake, because the originals, they were mechavin l'shem shemayim, right? Their kavana was to do it because they thought Hashem would like this, right? And that's, my roshiva, Zichron Levracha, Yaakov Varma, used to say on this Rambam, that it's not to be understood that the Rambam is saying, like those shitas, that Enosh was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He's just the opposite. He turns the Rambam's head. Enosh atzol min hatoim hoya, just to be mulam etzchus, Enosh was mistaken. Just to put the stress. If Enosh was an Oved Avodah Zarah, You wouldn't call him a toa. You wouldn't call him mistaken. You call him an apikoros. You call him a rasha, right? Or call him a whatever. And the atzmo min atoyim haya. Me and Rambam saying he was a tzaddik, right? But he was mistaken. Just it's actually putting a context around almost the opposite of what everyone wants to put the Rambam in the camp of those that blame enosh, right? But the Rambam still says, as much as it was a mistake, he calls it ze ikar avodah zarah. This is the ikar. This is the root, and this is the heart of avodah zarah. This is where it all starts from. This is where it all starts from. And he says, when Avram Avinu went, and figured out the truth, he figured out that this is how it started. And therefore, the Rambam's mashma, as a countermeasure, even though that's the halacha, right? The Rambam does not permit Gentiles to have idols, and we're going to get back. There's actually a machlokas on this between the Rambam and the Rashba, right? A subtle machlokas. We'll discuss in a second, right? But the Rambam said a very interesting lashon, and he said, "You therefore we should break the idols, so we should never fall into the mistake again, right? To avoid kadesha lo yitu achareihem, right? Because it can easily happen all over again." Because we go back to thinking that God wants you to worship these things, and then the whole thing will happen all over again. Right? That go into forgetting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally. But the Rambam is totally unforgiving. He calls it a mistake because the intention may be good. You want to worship Hashem, and you think by worshiping this thing, your Hashem would be pleased with that. But he calls it Ikar Avodas Kochavim. Ikar Avodas Kochavim. Right? Not the ta'ut that led to. It was a ta'ut, but in itself is ikra avodas kochavim. Right? It's just called a mistake because it's not done with malice. It's not done with out of rebellion. Right? And he stresses, enosh atzmo min atoyim haya. Right? Enosh himself was mistaken. Don't think, as I guess to take him out of the claw of the people that rose up in the next generation that started making money from this, and expanding it. Right? But here's the question, right? This is what the Rambam writes. The Rambam gave us 13 Ikarim, right? The 13 principles of faith. The fifth out of those 13 is to serve Hashem alone. Serve Hashem alone. And the Rambam takes a very, very strong stance over there and says that includes not just worshiping Hashem, but not even worshiping anything as an intermediary between you and Hashem. Right? Not even, totally just Hashem levado, Hashem alone, according to the Rambam, let's say, not that it's clear that anyone would concretely argue, but that, like Sonny's saying, like machnise rachamim machnisu, rachamenu ifnei bala rachamim, according to the Rambam, if you say that literally, meaning it literally, you're an oved avodah zarah. Right? You're not supposed to have any intermediary between you and Hashem to bring your tefillos up or anything like that. Many of the piyutim are problematic. The Maharal said to erase it from the slichas. The Korban Nisanel also. Those who do say it, it's the only understanding is because it's not to be taken literally. It's that Hashem should make it that the Machnisei HaRachamim do their job, not that we are addressing them.
If you have a Hasidic Rebbe and you,
what do you do with a Hasidic Rebbe?
I'm just saying, because we're supposed to daven directly to Hashem.
That's right. So you don't daven to a Rebbe. The Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim V'Lozhner, in Shar Gimel Perek Tes, says that if a person wants to, cling to a tzaddik because the Shekhinah is on a tzaddik, it's avodah zarah mamish. Right? You have to cling only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Yeah. Shar Gimel Perek Tes, Ayin Shom. That's, of course, clinging is only... Yeah, but you do pragmatia with it. So what do they say? What do Chazal say? So you do your business with the Talmud Chacham and your Masi Bito. Right, but do what Chazal say. Marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, take a Talmud Chacham as a son-in-law. Do your business with them.
But what's the point of that?
Because it, as the Rambam explains, you get positively influenced. Positively influenced. All right. So now the You know, so the message of the fifth Ikar of the Rambam, and we're going to discuss in a second whether there might be a delineation between Jew and Goy on this. But the message of the Rambam, fifth Ikar, is to understand that, right, God has a monopoly on all power. Right? Let's raise the following question. Right? Do we say that, look, God created, let's say, for example, fire. As an example, fire. Right? Now, God, of course, just like he created fire, he could extinguish the fire or could will it out of existence. He put it there. He could take it away. But so long as fire is here, fire is going to burn. Right? And God can't do anything about it, as it were. Right? As long as fire burns, that's what fire does. God has a choice whether he wants to remove it from existence, right, or put it in existence, but fire burns.
Did it burn during the burning bush?
Okay. That was a prophetic vision.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Moshe, you know, it wasn't a physical fire. He had a vision that there was a fire. Well, okay. Come on, guys. What?
Jim wants to take it out of the system, takes it out of the system.
No. Of course he can take it out of the system. But he only has a choice whether he wants to in existence or out of it. But as long as it's here, it's going to do its thing. Or even after fire exists, even its power to burn comes from Hashem.
Of course Hashem wants it to.
Okay, so cite examples. Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah. Right? Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah were thrown into the fire. They weren't consumed. Right? Now, so it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cooled down the fire either. Why? Because you know the story. The guys around the fire got burnt. Right? Hananiah, Mishael, who were in the fire, were spared. The fire was hotter on the outside than on the inside. Was that Mar Ukva, I think?
Right.
Yeah, of course, I'm just talking about the stories that are black and white in the scriptures. Of course, in Torah Shabbal Peh, we have also the story of Avram and Ur Kasdim. Right? And an amazing point, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a monopoly on all power, even after he created the world. And there's seemingly a hierarchy of existence, right, that there are stars, and whatever effect they had. Like I said, you look at the Rambam, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam, in his day, was considered to be scientifically accurate that the energy of the stars, affect us, moon affects the tides, and the movement of the celestial bodies caused the four elements that he worked with, he says, to combine and discombine. But fine, that's all good and well. That is a fact, but the question is, what are the mechanics? So it gets back to what the Rambam said. He found Dafka, the Goyim, saying about Avraham Avinu when they gave their record of the debates. And he said, when he told them, we explained to him, Mipu'ulos HaShemesh, all the wonderful things the sun does for us, and that's why we should worship the sun. And he said, and he answered us, Hu kegarzein biyad hachotzeh. It's just an axe in the hands of the wood chopper. When you chop wood, what chops the wood? The axe or the wood chopper? Well, who do you have to pay? Right?
That's a different question.
Why is that a different question? It's the same question. No, hey, if the axe cuts the wood, I pay the axe. Right?
The wood wouldn't get cut.
What?
Yeah, the wood chopper without the axe, the wood's still also.
The mashal that the Rambam says they recorded Avraham Avinu giving is a beautiful mashal. There's no the living energy, right? If we have a disagreement, we'll ask Dr. Leibowitz, okay? But the energy, the active energy, is from the woodchopper. The axe is, it's just being channeled through. So even though it's true, technically the axe chops the wood, right? But it does have energy of its own. Its energy is on loan and being passed through, from the woodchopper through. And so Avraham Avinu says the Rambam, told him, look, everything that the sun does is garzein b'yad, it's just an axe. It's a kli, right? It's a vessel. But where's the real power coming from? Where's the power? Power comes from Hashem. Right? He retained a monopoly on all power. And that's, the message that Avraham Avinu brought back to the world, right? You can't start, the mistake of Enosh, right? Is that as if, comparing the stars to the president's cabinet. Problem is, the president's cabinet, he does really impart authorities, right? And, they have power, right? Just, president's the big boss, right? But these things, they have their response, they have their authority, they have their authorization, whatever you call it. And in Brit, they call it samchut, right? So they made a mistake. They compared the stars, because they sensed the activities and the powers. The Zohar says that they actually started developing what we would call today witchcraft in the days of Enosh. They started studying the power of the entities of the cosmos. And this stuff's powerful. So everyone knew there was the one God that created all, but this stuff's got, it's got koach to it, right? So while they were still close to the source, only three generations away from the creation of the world, they didn't dare worship these things as God himself, but as God's cabinet members. Says the Rambam, Ze Iker Avodas Kochavim, the Rambam calls it. This mistake, he calls it a mistake only because of it came from a good intention, right? They didn't want to rebel against God, but it's called Ze Iker Avodas Kochavim. The problem of Avodas Kochavim already starts by thinking that there's any other power other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough to say there's only one original, infinite first cause. That's not enough. Right? It has to be that the one and infinite first cause is the one and only real power. Nothing else really has power. See, if they're in these high positions, which the Rambam viewed, the Rambam, even his own day, viewed that these things that are in the heavens are actually higher on the totem pole of reality than we are, and they affect us. Yeah, they affect us like an axe chops wood. But where's the energy coming from? The energy is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, his alone, his and his alone. So I want to jump back to the Malbim, right? That we quoted on the pasuk, that the Malbim's his approach to fit the Torah Shebaal Peh into the Torah Shebachsav. The Torah Shebaal Peh tells us that Oz Hucha Likro B'Shem Hashem is the beginning of Avodah Zarah, even though in the simple pshat it sounds like they're davening, right? Davening to Hashem. So he said, Oz Hucha Likro B'Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. They started calling to Yud Kei Vav Kei. So says the Malbim, they only refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yud Kei Vav Kei, but with that they were trying to alienate him from being the one who runs the world, saying that his cabinet, that they want honor because he set them up, they want to honor them because he set them up in their positions of power, right? The cabinet members, right? All the other divine names, like Elohim. What does Elohim mean? Bala Kochos Kulam. God is the master of all the different powers, right? And all the other divine names other than Yud Kei Vav Kei, that refers to how God runs the world, right? He's the forces of reality all belong to him. They disassociated HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They only used the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is God's special name that he has onto his own, to as if he is not.
But psychologically, it makes sense. See, if I have a boss, I'm going to try to impress my boss more than I'm going to worry about impressing the CEO of my company.
That's right.
Okay, because that boss is the guy that has more power over me, believe it or not, or whether I succeed or don't succeed, than the CEO does. And then I come to believe that the CEO has very little power over me, only my boss has power
right.
over me. And therefore, psychologically, I'm going to try to... So therefore, if they believe in this star stuff...
That's right.
Then they have no reason to believe in God.
You're mechaven to the way my Rosh Shiva described, except to use the army thing. The private only cares about the sergeant. He doesn't care about the chief of staff. Because he's under the sergeant, and if he displeases Sarge, his life will be hell. He keeps Sarge happy. He never thinks about the chief of staff or the president, not even once. And that's what happened over here. They forgot about Big God, because they thought that the stuff in the middle has its own power and needs to be pleased. So now, even
but
though
it's... It does have its own power, according to them.
So you say that was their mistake, right? That was their mistake. Right? And even then, when it started, it did it to honor God who set them up, and he's given power, but you know that was a mistake, as if God really gave them power. He didn't give them power. He channels his power through them. And that's what the other divine names represent. Right? How HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, you know, delivers energy in administering the world, administering our lives. Elohim. And we say Elohim, we mean God. Even though the term Elohim we find in Tanakh can refer to angels, Dayanim, right? Things in position of power. Right? As a matter of fact, that's, you know, the Rambam in the Mora says, Pasha Pshat, right? Well, first of all, everyone agrees. Hinei Samticha Elohim leParo. Varachich Yenevi'echa. It doesn't mean I made you a god to Paro. God's not setting up Moshe as an Avodah Zarah. It means Sar V'choshev, like Rashi says. And the Rambam understands that's also what the Nachash was saying. Right, Visem Ke Elohim Yodei Tov V'Ra, you will be important. You'll be really big, important people if you eat from the tree. So, you know, these terms, you know, but we also say it about Hashem, that to know that what these things do comes from him. Right? And that's what the Zohar says, famous Zohar. Hateva, nature, like forces of nature, is Gematria Elohim. It works. I did it once. I'm not going to do it right now, but I did it once. It's true. Right? Right? It's true. Right? It has a, right? It's right. But no. Hateva. Otherwise, it doesn't work without. Right. No, but it's so amazing. Hateva is gematria Elohim. Hateva is not gematria Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Yud Kei Vav Kei is his special name, right? How he's alone. It's a Shema Etzem. How he's only has his own special essence, right? So Hateva, you know, is Gematria Elohim, but Elohim is also a divine, meaning God does that. He is the one who makes nature run. There's a Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi in Simen, I think it's Simen Yud Ches, right? He had an interesting Din Torah that was sent to him from the Kehillah in London. Right, he was in Amsterdam, right? And a Kehillah took their Rav to a Din Torah, to the Chacham Tzvi, by mail, right? That he was accused of apikorsus. The Rav in London, famous guy, Rav David Nieto, author of the Kuzri Sheni and other famous forum, gave a drasha to his kehillah, and he said, you know, listen, we know that there's such a thing as, you know, the laws of nature, but you should know all these things are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, as we say in Alukas, HaMatzmiach Harzer, Nosin Lebem Lachma, Matzmiach Harzer. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes, you know, the wind blow, makes the rain, you know, come down, makes things grow. You know, the whole thing, like the part of the Pesukim are to be taken literally. You know that, you know, there is this nature, but nature is from Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Meaning it is him. It is him in action. So they thought he was a pantheist. You know what a pantheist is? It's not good, right? But it's thinking that, you know. You know, entities, everything you see is God. So they gave a transcript of the drasha, and they sent it to the Chacham Tzvi, that the Chacham Tzvi should paskin, if the Rav David Nieto is an apikoros or not. Right? And he writes back to the tshuva, that Rav David Nieto didn't say anything wrong, right? He's saying exactly what the Kuzri says in Maamar Rishon, right? That the forces of nature is what we call hashgacha. So we call Hashgacha, right? It's called divine providence. The aspect of divine providence that you see regularly, that you're privileged to see, and that you can measure, that's what we call the laws of nature. He says, Rav David Nieto is not saying that mass is God, that the atzamim, the nifradim, he didn't say that the physical entities are God. He was saying the active force that runs the world, that we call nature, that's Hashem, meaning that's the aspect of the Hashgacha that you could see with your own eyes, you're privileged to see. He's not saying that the created entities are. That would be pantheism. He's machalic over there. He never said that the created entities are God. Right? Of course they're not. You know, they're nifrodim. They're creations. Right? But what is, you know, is the actual force that, you know, the actual force that we call the laws of nature, that's called Hashgacha. And he vindicated. He vindicated Rav David Nieto, kept his shtela in London. Right? And that's what I say. That's what it means that the Zohar says. Hateva's Gematria Elohim. Right? Rashi's approach, right, is to Now, Oz Huchal, Likro B'Shem Hashem, they defiled the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? As it because they started associating other things, you know, other so things are also God. Right? But it's the same idea, right? Even though it's a different nuance in how to fit into the pasuk, right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only, not just the one and only creator, not just the one and only one of infinite power. He's also the one and only power, period. One and only power, period. All the forces that you see, you know, all the energies you see, they are, you know, those things that are giving off energy are just kalim. They are vessels. And they are passing, and it's his energy, and his energy that's being passed through them. Right? Now, here's an interesting machloikus between the Rambam and the Rajba regarding Goyim on this issue. Right, the Rajba has a long tshuva. It's printed in the Chidush HaGadol of the Rajba that he wrote to a priest, a guy who made his life miserable. This guy was bad news. It was he was two generations. He was on the debating team that debated the Ramban. He was the guy in the, you know, the guy they called the guy in the chair that was passing the arguments to Pablo Cristiani. He was debating with the Ramban. He was like on the team, you know, in the background helping with the arguments. And in the next generation, he went head to head with the Rajba. And the Rajba has a long tshuva. It's also printed in tshuva so Rajba. And the Rajba explains to him, look, you know, the pasuk says, you know, Parshas Veschanan, you know, that you shouldn't worship the stars, Asher Cholak Hashem L'Chola Amin, that Hashem has a portion to all the nations. Right? That's what the pasuk says. And Rashi says, you know, it's literal, that you Jewish people, you're under me directly, right? But the other nations, they are under the stars. Now, says the Rajba, therefore, interesting, right? The Rajba writes, you guys, if you guys want, so he's giving him sort of a heter for Christianity, right? Right? If you guys want, right, Moshel Ma Dover Dome, a melech, a king, set up governors, right, over different provinces. Of course, anyone who lives in that province goes to his governor for anything, for all his needs, right? You're not going to schlep to the king, and the king doesn't care either. That's what he set up the governor for. You go to your governor. Right? Just the only thing that's usher to do is to go to the governor with your needs and say, oh, my king, help me, because that's treason. Right? But if you say, governor, help me, you are only the governor. Governor, help me, nothing wrong with that. Right? However, let's say you are serving in the king's palace. You work with the king directly, and you need something. And the governor from your home state, right, but you serve in the palace, right? But a governor in their home state happens to be visiting the palace. They say, governor, can you help me? That's treason. Because you're in front of the king. You're in front of the king. You know, so the governor is batel mevutel when you're directly in front of the king. So the people who are in the palace, they only address the king. And for them to address anyone else, even as the governor, is treason. Because you're in front of the king. What are you turning to anyone else? The guy who is under the governor can address his needs to the governor so long as he's only the governor, right? It's only treason if you call him king. So he says like this, you guys, you know, you the goyim, now if you want, what's implied, it was implied, he didn't say black and white because I don't know if he would have meant it literally, he's implying that you guys could go to, you know, this saint and that saint, right? Because you guys are really under these other forces, right? Just don't call them the big God, right? So there should be, you know, for you guys, it would be mutter if you delineate between the big God and the, you know, the minister that you're under, addressing the minister as the minister, right? But we were chosen. We're directly under HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are only directly, we're like in the palace. And he says to that, interestingly enough, and therefore, because that's our position, that's why we belong in the land of Israel, because that's God's palace. We're directly, and so for us, it's always usher. For us, it's always usher to address our needs to any intermediary, even as an intermediary, because it's like we're directly in front of the king perpetually, so we're not supposed to be gairus, not supposed to recognize anything else. And that's why on the globe, we ought to be in Eretz Yisrael, which is the king's palace. You guys are taka under these other forces. For you guys, it's mutter. I mean, he's saying, you know, between the lines, you can make Christianity mutter for you, right? If you delineate the big God, right, who remains the big God, and the governor that he set up that you could, you know, if you want to do Christianity in that oifen, it could be mutter for you. Right? That's what he's implying over there in that very long tshuva. Right? Yeah, but he, you know, presumably he wasn't lying, and he held that that's the halacha for goyim. And that's, you know, it just goes into the machlokas rishonim, whether shituf, right, believing that God has partners and running the world is mutter for goyim or not. Or is there Israel? What? Partners was the wrong word. The word shituf is what they use, but it doesn't have to mean partners. Partners, shituf just means togetherness. You know, linked, you know. Oh, yeah, so that's just, yeah, God is all. Right. Right. So that's very interesting, right? That the Rajma says there's a difference between Jew and Goy on this, right? That we're only, for us, Eino Milvado, literally. For them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka put them under these, but they can't, they have to worship them, use them as ministers, not to usurp God. But as it were, for them, it's mutter, so long as they don't use it in any way to usurp HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Very interesting. Right? So now the Rambam clearly doesn't like it. First of all, the Rambam does paskins in Hilchos Melachim, black and white, not like the Rajba. Right? That, you know, Ben Noach is Osir and Avodah Zarah, the same way we are. It's all the Gedarim are the same. Right? Can't have an intermediary, can't have an idol. Right? Even if it's as an intermediary. Right? But the question is, why? Right, so you could say he just doesn't believe that the goyim are under these forces, but Marashiva is medayek from what we read, you know, together in the Rambam over here, that Avraham Avinu told them, we must break all the idols so we don't fall into ro'ui. What's the lashon? Very interesting. You know, now of course this is before Matan Torah. Question: if anything changed? But it's very, very interesting lashon. So. Tame, as it were. Not at all. V'ra'ui l'abed u'l'shaber kol atzurot k'dei shelo yitu bahem kol ha'am, is befitting to break these symbols so we should not fall into error again. Meaning to say like this, that we have a principle that of Yarda Torah L'Sof Dai Toshel Adam, the Torah is the biggest psychologist that there is. Right? Like, for instance, where's an example of that? Just the top of my head, Bob Machteris, break and entry, you know, join the NRA today. I have forms here with me. The right, Second Amendment, before the liberals take it away. Join it, because Bob Machter says halacha lemaase, break and entry. The Torah yarda l'sof daito shel adam, right? That it's gonna end up in bloodshed, right? Because the Torah knows that the ganav knows that there's no way you're just gonna sit and let him take your money. So it's gonna be a struggle, right? So he knows you may end up killing him. Therefore, he comes prepared to kill. So yarda Torah l'sof daito shel adam. You know, there's a few other examples of that, like moda b'miktsas. The Torah knows that you're just pushing off by admitting half, you know, to buy time, so the Torah put a shvu on you, so kihechi deloti, you should admit to the whole amount. Well, we find that the Torah instantly gave halachas because it knows, you know, deep down, right, the psychology of people. Right, so my Rashi was medayik from here that which the Rambam holds, that the goyim have the same gedarim of avodah zarah as we do, is not to say that they are the same as us. They may still be under these other forces, but it is inevitable that the mistake will happen again, and therefore the Torah's yardal is self daitam and say, you got to get rid of, you know, all the idols. You can't worship them even as intermediaries, even though it might be true that you're under them, because yardal Torah is self daitam, because the mistake will inevitably happen again. So Rashiva wanted to tie in that the Rambam and the Rajba agree vis-a-vis the position of Goyim in the cosmos, but still the Torah was machmir on them and gave them all the chumras of Isurei Avodah Zarah that there is by Jews, because otherwise they will inevitably sink back into Avodah Zarah. That's how he reads the Rambam. Right?
Well, but when you take a look at the fact that Jews didn't stop Avodah Zarah, you know, Jews were as rampant as anybody on the planet with Avodah Zarah. And if we're the guys directly under Hashem, right, then how can we expect anything better from the Goyim?
Yeah, I agree with the problem. But we do have a countermeasure, and that's Shabbos. Right? That is Shabbos. But it's interesting, you know, that's, you know, Enosh. I want to get back to what we said before, how Enosh became a name for humanity itself. Ashrei Enosh Yasod. Umelame Lenosh Bina. Right? So the Medaktikim, those who have studied Lashon HaKodesh, the Gro, the Malbim, have all agreed, right, that Adam and Ish refer to honorable man. Enosh, you look in all the Psukim, right, is lowly man. Like famous pasuk, Ma Enosh Ki Tiskareno. Right, what is an Enosh that is even worth mentioning? Right, you know, as an example. Right, and you'll see, go through, you know, or like the pasuk, you know, Chazal Darshan, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zos, is referring to a guy who's Nichshol in Avodah Zarah. Right, so Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo, if you keep Shabbos, you know, you'll get Mechila through keeping Shabbos, and we'll get there in a second. Right, so the as everyone here agreed, right, the problem of falling into Avodah is real plain, the way the human mind works, Enosh and all the wise men fell into this mistake, right? It's very simple human perception to attribute power to something that seemingly exhibits power, right? You know, it's very natural, and we have to be on our guard. You know, that's Enosh has always represented man's lower state, susceptible to mistake, right? And that's so it's Avodah Zarah, which has been such a great problem that we have not really rid the world of yet. You know, it started with him, right? And it's Enosh Atzma Tana, it's human error. You know what we call to err is human. To err is human. That's Enosh. That's what Enosh means. Right, you know, and that's, you know, how we have to be on our guard for this, and you know.
Is the word Enosh in Menashe at all?
I can't tell you.
I was thinking about Menashe as the king,
we say to err is human. That's Enosh. That's what the term Enosh means, and when then the Torah gave us all these, and the Rambam, even for the Goyim, gave them all these safeguards of Isuri Avodah Zarah to distance the mistake that you could easily be prone to fall into. You know, some of you mentioned, some people think that you worship Tzadikim. I mean, there are people that go to Uman every year that are Oivra Avodah Zarah Mamish. I mean, you can see in the paper, Bati Lit Palel Rabbi Nachman Sheyatzilot Me'ili Orchen. Right, I was saying, I'm still worrying about it. So, one guy, Eli Orchen, was some guy who claimed to be a Mechashif. Right? And so people from Israel, believe it or not, they went to Reb Nachman to daven to him to save them from Eli Orchein. Suffered his own mamish. It's not, if it's because a big rabbi doesn't make it mutter, it's not, you know. Avodah Zarah is Avodah Zarah. Right? Humanity is prone to such sickness. And that's what the term Enosh represents. The aspect of, the human mind is, Enosh Atzumina Toimaya, is what they say, to err is human, having this side to us that, we could easily be fooled or we could easily misthink something. But I want to get back to Shabbos. Right?
And, but he wasn't a bad guy. That's, this is bad guys in the Bible. I mean, you don't see the picture. This guy wasn't a bad guy.
Well, look, it got you guys to come tonight, so it worked. You're fine. Right. Yeah, right. Right. It's a toast, right? Mr. Ram said, toast, but it's that toast is Ikar Avodas Kochavim. And Shabbos is the antidote. And now we get back to Gemara and Shabbos. Afilu Ovid Avazor, like one Girsa Ke'enosh, or like another Girsa Kidrosh, both Girsos, so they're on the page, right? So mochulo, because everyone should be making the connection, right? Shabbos is only for Jews, right? Goyish Shavas Chayev Misa, right? Referring to how the Rashi said we're in an elevated state, we're directly in the palace, right? And for us, it's unthinkable, even as an intermediary. Meaning La Locha Maisa, he agrees with the Rambam. You can't say Machnisei Rachamim and mean it literally. Rav Chaim Volozhiner didn't say Baruchun Hashem Malachi Hashem, right? He holds Avodah Zarah. Well, you make a request from a Malach, it's also, right?
Yaakov Avinu asked, that was this week's parsha.
Right. Yeah, so it wasn't means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make it, not you don't, no request. Well, was it? Well, he didn't say please, right? What? What? Yeah, right. The it wasn't a request. He forced it. It wasn't.
Say for Yaakov, you can say for us.
What? No, the way you say these things that we don't mean it literally. We mean it, you know, we're meaning Hashem should make it like the Abarbanel says in the Abarbanel, famous Abarbanel, that just sets the tone for how you have to understand. Yaakov says in Parshvei, Amalcha Golsim Yikari Vrachsan Yikarban Shmi. So, didn't he make a request to a Malach? So, says the Barbaro, you got to take it into context because you have to read the pasuk before. Elokim haroe osi meodi vareom azeh hamacha gol si mikora. He said, you know, he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, if you put the two pesukim together in context, he's saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who always watched over me, should make it that hamacha gol. As Rosh Hashiva, Zichron Vracha, said, that's how all these things, Hashem should make it that the angels will bless me, but we don't make a request. You know, the Rajba and the Rambam definitely don't agree that by Yidden, that is for sure the case. Right? And parallel to that is, we have Shabbos, they don't. It's the Matana Tova that's special from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael because of our special status that we're his people, right? We're in his palace. But it's more than that. You know, what is the idea of Shabbos represent? Right, kivo shavas mikom lachto. All the forces that you see cease. They come to an end. They all have their edge. You know, those forces are from here to here, and only because he created them. Shabbos commemorates creation, so it's only from here. Shabbos we dafka celebrate when creation was over, right? Post creation, kivo shavas, when God finished, right? To say that God that we worship is bigger, right? All these things are small, they have their edge. They started 6 days ago, and they end on Shabbos, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one real power that always was and always will be, right? And this, the Maharal explains, is why there's on Shabbos, we have something which we don't have on Yom Tov. The Isser Hotzah Mirushus L'Rushus. You're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabin, right? Because we're supposed to be just in Rosh Hashayachid, be in the domain of He who is one. That's what Rosh Hashayachid represents. And that's also written in the Arizal, that Rosh Hashayachid represents like Elohim Acherim, that as if there are others, as if there's more than one God. Shabbos, we're only in Rosh Hashayachid. Now, what are the dimensions of Rosh Hashayachid? Right? It's 10 tefachim by 4 tefachim. 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, right? So says the Arizal, that's the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's four letters, connected to 4 tefachim width. But if you want to spell it out with the milui, it's 10 letters. Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph, 10 oisius, right? So it's an Arizal. It says that Marshall, that, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah, we're by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Shabbos is, as anyone say, the Kegavna before Baruch Hu. Right, not sure Litvaks. The Kegavna, you know, there's a shtick zayar from, I think it's from Parshas Truma, that the Nusach Svart says before Baruch Hu, that Shabbos says, you know, that it's Baroza de Echa, and it says, V'les Shultna Achrin B'chol Almin Barmina. There's no other, on Shabbos, there's no Shlita, right? If during the week, you know, It seems like, right? On Shabbos, it doesn't even seem like. For those who live with Shabbos, anyone who lives in Shabbos could feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only, and having the clarity, right, the clarity and the closeness to God that Shabbos gives us, that it's a day to contemplate, ain ol milvado, there's only one creator, all the other forces are just creations and are just putty in his hands, and therefore he's the only one real power, because he's the creator, and the creations are nothing compared to the creator, they're all artificial, relative to him. On this day, if a person lives with Shabbos, so this is what gives Am Yisrael the strength, the moral strength, and the clarity to not fall into the ta'ut of Avodah Zorah. So I feel Ovid Avodah Zorah, Kedorsha Enosh, Mochulo. Thank you very much.